before you to share God's truth. And we pray that the lesson will be of encouragement to each of us as we strive to serve God and prepare ourselves for an eternity with Him. You know, we are all on a journey towards eternity. And this journey is a walk. And tonight we want to examine our walk with Almighty God. We want to examine our behavior as we strive to serve Almighty God. You know, we are told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that our behavior should be of such that it is an offering. And so we are told that as we offer ourselves, our behavior ought to be of such that we are a living sacrifice. We are encouraged to be holy. That is the type of behavior that Almighty God expects of us in our journey, in our walk to serve Him. In fact, we are told that our behavior ought to be of such that it is acceptable to God. And so what we recognize is that as we strive to be obedient, as we strive to walk, as we have our behavior in our life, that it must be pleasing to the Almighty God. It is not so much what self thinks is right. It is not so much what society thinks is proper behavior, but that which is acceptable to God. And I'm almost tempted to spend some more time on this, but we will suffice it to say that we should be leading lives that are acceptable to God, albeit that what we think, even if that is not God's will, if we strongly think so, then it holds us accountable. And so it is important for us to look to the word of Almighty God to guide our action, because we might actually constrain ourselves where God has put no such a thing. While society does not dictate what God accepts, as Christians, we should conform to the law of the land. God probably does not care that I am driving on Waterhouse Drive at 60 kilometers per hour. But because the law of the land, because society has established that in a built-up area like this, then the speed limit is 50 kilometers per hour, then what we would recognize is that our behavior becomes sinful because of the society in which we live. But for the next few minutes, I want to look at another type of behavior, another type of walk that we often find ourselves in. And as we continue to look at behavior, you know, if you're going to title the lesson, we would want to call it behavior. And there's a hashtag, our walk. We recognize that over and again in the New Testament, we are told of a behavior, and The word that is used is lasciviousness. And oftentimes as Christians, you know, we see and we hear of lasciviousness and we say, what is that? You know, I think for most of us, we'll say, at least we know it is not something desirable. But what exactly is lasciviousness? And what does that have to do with behavior? Now, the concept of lasciviousness is that it is an unrestrained behavior. It is lawlessness, it is lewdness. It is behavior that is unchecked, unchaste, wantonness, excessive indulgence. So these are some of the concepts that we get coming out of lasciviousness, and it is also defined as something that is highly provocative. It is a nature, a behavior that is unabased. We do not hold back. We just galangso. And so we recognize that there are some behaviors that are acceptable and there are others that are not. For the next few minutes, I just want us to examine together a few verses that speaks to this lasciviousness, this behavior that is deemed not to be wanting. You see, one of the things I want to leave through this message is that as Christians and members of the body of Christ, we should walk uprightly so that we don't overwhelm. We do not bring shame to the work of the ministry of Christ. And so first of all, I want us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And what we're going to see coming out here is that the word lasciviousness, this unconstrained, restrained behavior, is referred to as filthy conversation. And if we are not careful, we will start believing that it is the things we say. But what we'll recognize in a few minutes is that this filthy conversation is really referring to our conduct, our behavior. Let's have verse 7 and 8.
And delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds.
Yes. That's verse 8?
Yes.
All right. If we go back a little, we will see that from about verse 4, the writer of the book of 2 Peter goes down the line and he speaks about the angels. And he highlights that God did not spare the angels. I want us to get it. The angels sin. God did not spare them. Then it goes down to verse 5, and it speaks about the old world and the people in the days of Noah. And he said that he destroyed the earth. He flooded the earth. And then we go down to verse 6 following. And it talks about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, where these cities were destroyed by fire because of the evil and the wickedness, the lasciviousness the unrestrained wantonness of behavior. And what we begin to see is that the Almighty God, over and again, where there is lasciviousness, where there is behavior that is just unrestrained, it pulls God's hand. It forces God's hand to act, and act in a way that is not good, is not pleasurable for mankind. But let me, if I don't get a chance, to say towards the end, even in the situation of the angels, notice that God only punished those who had sinned. Let's read verse 4.
For if God spared not
the angels
that sinned,
but cast them down to hell. Notice that in the midst of the evil that the angels, Lucifer and others, had done, that those angels that did not sin, God spared them. So even in a wicked and cruel world, even in a world of perverse behavior, if we keep ourselves, God will see us through. The same was true for Noah. Their behavior was lascivious. Their wickedness came up in front of God. But when Almighty God saw Noah, when he saw Mrs. Noah and their sons and their wives being obedient to him, he spared them. That is assurance to us that our positive and good behavior is seen by Almighty God, and he'll help us. So we now get back to Sodom and Gomorrah and to Lot. And here we see that these persons in Lot's circle, their behavior was filthy. Their conduct was disorderly. Their way of life was just unchaste behavior. But he spared Lot. But can we just examine for a minute Lot's attitude towards this world that he existed in, of this callous type of behavior? When we look at verse 7, let's read it again.
And delivered just Lot.
If you read this, you might read it incorrectly. You know, he delivered just Lot alone. No, it's not that he delivered only Lot, and his family, but he delivered Lot, who he considered to be just. Read.
Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
Slow.
Vexed.
Stop. He delivered Lot, who was just. But listen to the attitude, the disposition, the way in which Lot conducted himself. He was living in an environment where man and man was seen as the norm. Are we getting there? Well, are we there? But it vexed Lot. It distressed Lot. It was a torment for Lot. And so I'm hastening to say to us that even in a society of lasciviousness, of wanton behavior, unrestrained behavior, unnormal behavior that displeases God, Let us never feel comfortable with it. Let us never get used to it. Let us not see it and say, that's all right. Because this may very well impact God's ability, God's desire to rescue us. You know, we are not encouraging anybody to see homosexual and start to stone them. And to be aggressive towards them. But at the same time, we should not allow ourselves to start seeing it as the norm. Or as being okay. They must recognize that something is wrong. We should never support this type of behavior. We need to be careful about passiveness. Passiveness towards homosexuality, provocative dancing, vulgar conversation. It is easy to just say, oh, that's just how things are. But we should never get acclimatized to this. We should so set ourselves that when these things happen, it vexes with spirit. It vexes us so much that we have to say something about what we are seeing. I'm not sure if I get the lyrics correct, but you have some songs and dance that when you listen to it, it's saying, you know, like the lady is supposed to be dancing and you must broke off them back. You know, that's a type of, you know, type of language that is coming out in it. And, you know, broke it down, you know. And if we're not careful, then this is what we keep seeing and hearing. And this is unrestrained behavior. But if we are not careful, we start seeing it as okay. You know, carnival. You know, the behavior is of such that sometimes even as Christians, if we're not careful, we're looking forward to carnival time. Because, you know, it gives you a nice vibes. So it's like we're getting used to it. But we should not allow this to be the case. It should distress us. It should vex us to see behavior that is lascivious, unchaste. Remember, it may very well impact God's ability to rescue us when he takes vengeance on this type of action. Time will not allow me. But if you have the chance, you can just go back and read, you know, that whole situation with Lot. Lot, notice that Lot, as much as it vexed his spirit, that's what we are told in verse 7 and 8. It vexed his spirit. But he did not bring violence to them. In fact, he tried to reason with them. And that ought to be our disposition. That, yes, this man behaving like a woman. This man wanting to marry a man. This woman wanting to marry a woman. We should try to reason with them that this is not God's order. That was the attitude. Never should we encourage filthy behavior. We should always resist this type of behavior. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we see that this filthy conversation of the wicked is actually the word lasciviousness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And we are going to see, coming out of this passage, the concept again of lasciviousness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And interestingly, what we are going to see, we might have missed it in 2 Peter, but it was there. But what is going to come out quite clearly in Ephesians is that lasciviousness, this unrestrained behavior, usually comes as a result of deteriorated action. So usually we don't just get to this state like that, but it is a gradual acceptance. An acceptance. But this acceptance is not just an acceptance going in a straight line. It is more a acceptance. We are deteriorating until we hit the... You see, because I've been talking about homosexuality, I don't want to say until it hits bottom. But what we recognize is that this concept of lasciviousness is one that is a constant deterioration until we get sort of complacent, blind, numb, as it were, to the behavior. Let's have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18.
Having the understanding darkened.
Yes.
Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, mm-hmm. because of the blindness of their heart.
So what we are seeing here, and you know, if we go up all the way up to verse, let's read verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord,
yes.
beseech you that ye walk worthy.
I beseech you that ye walk worthy. Yes, that's coming again to our behavior. You see, we need to walk worthy. And so it continues down, and you know, I think we are familiar with, you know, in order to build up the church, he gave apostles and pastors and teachers, all for the building up of the ministry. And we see the concept of coming out again in verse 17. Jump down to verse 17 for me.
This I say.
Same walk.
Mm-hmm. This I say, this therefore. I say,
yes.
And testify in the Lord.
Yes.
That ye henceforth walk. Not as other Gentiles walk.
Not as the Gentiles walk.
In the vanity of their mind.
In the vanity of their minds. So the Apostle Paul here is talking about our behavior, our walk. And he's saying that our walk ought to be of a particular nature. So then he jumps down, and let's pick up again at verse 18.
Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart.
So what it is saying is that your understanding has gotten dark. It's getting dimmer and dimmer. It's a deterioration. Then we ask the question, are we blind to raw behavior? When we see lewd behavior, do we see that as okay? The society in which we live can allow that to happen. You are seeing sin and we don't even know that it is sin. And here's how it gets worse. We can be doing sin. So it's one thing to be looking at sin, but I'm not doing it, but it don't trouble me. But sometimes we ourselves start to practice certain types of sin and don't even realize that it is sin. And so we have to draw close to God, because when we allow the word of God to dwell in us, then we can see the difference. We can do that. You say, are we numb? Are we seared to lasciviousness? You know, the Bible talks about our conscience being seared with a hot iron. You know, that can happen where we constantly see the thing. We grow up seeing the thing. Our persons around us are practicing the sin. That we no longer see it as something lawless. We no longer see it as something that is wicked. We need to be careful that we do not lose our feelings. We do not lose our sensitivity to things that are wrong. It can happen. It can happen. You see, when we start losing the sensitivity, then the next step is indulgence in all kinds of impurity. Can I move forward? So we are looking at behavior. We have seen the type of behavior that God wants, that which is acceptable to him. So we are going to understand what is acceptable to God by following his word. But we are recognizing that there are some behavior, and we have gone almost to the extreme talking about those really unrestrained behavior. But one could argue that there are many undesirable behavior in between. But the little, if I can go there, bad behavior can eventually lead to total unrestrained behavior. And that behavior that is not even considered normal. You know, there is a book I read years ago. I don't even remember the name of the book. But the author was making the point that probably contrary to what a lot of persons think in respect to homosexuality, that sometimes loose behavior or exposure, and the young people can listen to this, the exposure to sex, the exposure to sexual infidelity at an early stage sometimes lead to homosexuality. And when I read it at first, it didn't seem to make sense. But as I continue to read, the idea is that as you get early exposure and early, this early concept of experimenting and moving around, and you tend to experiment, you get to a point where you start experimenting at the worst kind of ways, because you just develop this experimenting type of action. And so, as opposed to the situation where you practice restraint, you recognize that the word of God is true. And so, even though persons will tell you that you must try on the shoes before you buy the shoes, I'm talking in too much parable, that you must sample the merchandise, still in parable, that you must have sex before marriage, I'm talking plain now, persons to tell you that I must live with the person for a while before I get married to the person. That's what society will tell us. But in reality, if you can practice constraint to recognize that the Almighty God wants you to preserve yourself for marriage, then that discipline that you would have done will help you even in marriage. Amen. To recognize that you need to have that commitment. But this type of concept is just for some that nothing can go so because of the bombardment and the message that we keep hearing. And so we are to be warned. But let me go quickly to another passage, and this will be the last passage that we are going to with this, the concept of lasciviousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. We again see the word lasciviousness coming up. And we are going to recognize here that being in a state where we are seeing lasciviousness, or we are involved in this type of unchaste behavior, then it calls for certain action. It calls for a particular type of disposition. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21.
And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you.
Okay, that's Paul speaking.
And that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed.
Okay, so here we're seeing, you know, fornication, lasciviousness coming. But let us look a little closer. Here Paul was seeing sin unrepented of, including lasciviousness. And Paul says that he was afraid that when he comes, it would cause him grief. It would cause him to mourn. It would cause him to bewail. And so what we recognize is that the presence of sin, the presence of lasciviousness, calls for the righteous, calls for the Christian to grieve. It calls for us to mourn. It calls for us to bewail. It never solicits indifference. It never solicits us feeling that things are okay. Not only does it call for the Christian, the child of God, to feel sad, grieving and mourning, but it calls for the offender to repent. Can we read verse 21 again?
Unless when I come again,
yes,
my God will humble me among you,
yes,
and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented.
And have not repented. So guess what? We all sin. But you see, that sin that we fail to repent of, it calls for a particular action. Those of us help you will mourn, it will grieve us when we see you practicing your sin and you are failing to repent of it. When we try to explain to you that your action is not right, when you try to convince us that it is quite okay. Talk to you. It grieves us. that we want to pass your business, but it's because we want your help. But it also calls for the offender to repent. Sometimes, let's say the learning, sometimes we recognize that we have been practicing sin. Some of us, we stop. But we have caused offense by our very action. But we fail to come to the church and repent. To recommit your life, acknowledging that you have sinned. Certain behavior makes it necessary for repentance to be done publicly. We repeat a statement we made earlier. Members of the church should walk uprightly, lest they overwhelm the work of the ministry and put it to shame. Sometimes our action is of such that when persons see you and know that you're associated with the body of Christ, it brings reproach to the body of Christ. How can a member of the church be behaving in this way? Guess what? As members of the church, sometimes we behave bad. We do things that we ought not to. And then persons will remember even when you repent. But guess what? When you do come and repent, then we can say, yes, the wrong was done. The wrong was acknowledged. But when you do it and then you just give some time and you come back, don't acknowledge that it was wrong, then you bring reproach. Because all of a sudden, the church now, if we embrace you, it's almost like, it would be that we are condoning the wrong. Being in a state where our behavior is of such, we are having lascivious behavior, it calls for the leadership to act. It calls for the church to take action. Take action, Brother Webb? Yes, take action. You know, you could almost say inflict punishment. And so it ought to be the practice of the church, if members are not behaving properly, is engaged in lascivious action. And somebody says, Brother Webb, what is lasciviousness again? That type of lawlessness, you don't care about rules, unchaste behavior, wantonness, highly provocative, action that is so untowards. The leadership, the church, must take action. Note that as the church takes action, as it mourns and as it grieves, like Paul was, it is not one that is passive, but one that is active. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 16, we are told that we ought to reject after the first and second admonition. So when the church speaks to us and we fail to repent, we fail to change, then the church has to take positive action to disassociate itself with you. We cannot be passive, or else we bring the entire congregation at risk of God's vengeance. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 that when certain things happen to Christians, our action will be of a particular sort. So those Christians that are feeble-minded, our action is a particular way. Those Christians who are weak, our approach to them is of a particular method and means. But it talks and speaks clearly that the member who is unruly, who is lawless in their action, who is being lascivious in their way, where they are just having unrestrained behavior, just want to do their own thing, then it is not a gentle action. We come down forcefully on them. You want to read that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14.
Now we exhort you. Brethren.
Yes.
Warn them that are...
So he's speaking to the church. Yeah, warn them.
Warn them that are unruly.
So you're going to warn them that are unruly. Continue.
Comfort the feeble-minded.
You see the difference? Those that are feeble-minded, you're going to give them comfort.
Support the weak.
So, you know, so here we have persons, and in all of this, you know, it's not desirable to be feeble-minded. It is not desirable to be weak, nor is it desirable to be unruly. But notice that for the person who is weak, you are going to what to them?
Support the weak.
You are going to support them. You are going to try to help them to become strong. Those that are feeble-minded, you are going to?
Comfort.
Comfort them. You know, so that they can become comforted. But when a person now is unruly, then you have to warn them. And it's not empty warning. So when you tie that back to Titus, you know, you warn them. First admonition, or first warning, second warning, then afterwards you're saying, you are not listening to the church, we are disassociating ourselves from you, but would have tried. So what we are saying here is that behavior is important. Our behavior is of such that we should be holy. Our lives should be one of living sacrifice, and whatever we do ought to be acceptable to Almighty God. You know, we have an opportunity right now that if our action, if our behavior, if our walk is of such that we are not pleasing to Almighty God, then tonight we can make a change. Tonight we can repent. We can make that turn and start walking the way he wants us to walk. If you happen to be here and you are not a child of God, then the walk that you have been taking is one that is not acceptable. Tonight, having heard what God wants and what he doesn't want, you have the opportunity, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you are willing to make that change, that's repentance, then you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Tonight you can do that. And we will give you the opportunity to be obedient. You can be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sin. Tonight you can do that. And then you can start that walk. That walk. We leave the lesson with you, and we encourage you to make your behavior one that is pleasing and acceptable to Almighty God. Let us stand as the song leader comes with a song of invitation.